Great. Okay. Welcome back to anyone who just joined. Sorry about the brief interruption. I was saying that much like many Disney movies where you meet most of the characters right away, they get into a huge mess, and all of a sudden another character shows up out of the clear blue and seems to save the day. So too with Miguel at Root. In Miguel at Root, we meet most of our characters immediately. They, again, seem to get themselves into a huge mess, meaning they abandon the people of Eretz Yisrael. Elimelech and his family leave to stay Moab. Elimelech passes away and both his sons pass away, leaving Naomi, the matriarch of the family, and her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. They leave them completely alone, apparently with no money, no wealth, nothing to their names. Naomi decides to get up, go back to Eretz Yisrael. She tries to convince her daughter-in-laws to stay in Moab. There's no reason for them to come back with her. One of them listens. Orpah stays in Moab while Ruth returns with her to Eretz Yisrael. And they return. The people of Eretz Yisrael are shocked to see how poor and downtrodden Naomi has gotten. And that's when we meet Boaz. Ruth says to her mother-in-law, she says, Naomi, we have nothing. I must go beg in the fields. And she says, I know that you have a cousin, a relative, as we see in the first source on the source sheet, which I am putting in the chat right now. We see that Ruth says to Naomi, "Lenaomi meida leisha ish gibor chayil mimishpachat Elimelech ushmo Boaz." It says that we know that Ruth says Naomi had a cousin, and this cousin's name was Boaz. And he says Boaz was a man of substance. He was an ish gibor chayil. He was a soldier, and he was from the family of Elimelech. So, we are saying that Ruth says to Naomi, we need to go beg for food. We have no other option. You have this cousin, Boaz. He's from your husband's family. I'm going to go to his field. And it says in the Pasuk, it says, Ula Naomi moda. There was a moda. What does this mean? The English translation translated as a kinsman. Rashi translates moda as a karov, a close relative. Ben achiv shel Elimelech haya. He was Elimelech's nephew. Amru Rabotini Zechronam Levracha. Our rabbis tell us, Elimelech v'Salmon, Avi Boaz, Uploni Almoni Hagoel, Ve'avina Ami, Kulam b'ni Nachshon ben Ami Nadav Hayu. There were four brothers. There was Elimelech. There was Salmon, who was Boaz's father. There was Ploni Almoni, who we meet later on. He is the Goel. He is the Redeemer. Ve'avi Naomi and Naomi's father were all brothers. So if we can all make those connections, Naomi was married to her uncle. And they're all four sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav. So that name probably rings a bell for some people. We're going to take a look at who is Nachshon and why is it important that we know that Boaz is his son. Rashi doesn't just tell us information for the sake of our general knowledge. Rashi tells us information to make a point. So we meet Nachshon a number of places dispersed throughout Tanakh, and one of them is in Bamidbar. It says, "V'achonim kadima mizracha degel machane Yehuda litzivotam v'nasi libnei Yehuda Nachshon ben Aminadav." So we meet Nachshon. Nachshon is the nasi of Shevet Yehuda. But someone may stop me if we weren't on Zoom and may say, "What do you mean we don't meet Nachshon till Bamidbar? We know what happened with Nachshon at Kriyat Yamsuf." Well, surprise, that doesn't happen in the Torah. That's a midrash. So let's go back to where the famous story of Nachshon, even though it's not actually written in the Torah. So in Shemot Parak Yadalad, we're standing at the banks of the Yamsuf, and it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ma tzak elai, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'i." Hashem says to Moshe, "Why are you calling out to me?" He says, "Now is not a time to call out to me." He says, "You need to turn and lead B'nai Israel." Vata harim et matcha unite et yadchal hayam uvak'u vayavo B'nai Israel b'tol hayam b'yabasha. And Hashem says to Moshe, "Lift up your staff and B'nai Israel will cross through the sea." So the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael, one of the Midrashim, comments here in Parshat B'Shalach. And it says, when B'nai Yisrael were standing at the brinks of the Yam Suf, it says, Zeh Omer Eni Yoreid Tchila, V'zeh Omer Eni Yoreid Tchila, Shene Emar, Sevavuni Kechacha Shafrayim. It said, when they were standing at the banks of the Yam Suf, B'nai Yisrael were turning to one another, and they were each saying, there's no way I'm going in there first. And the other one was turning to his neighbor and saying, I'm not going in there first. No one wanted to take that first step. So amidst all this discussion, everyone asking advice from his neighbor, Nachshon ben Aminadav got up and entered into the Yam Suf. And it says at that point, the Yam Suf split. And because of this, the Shevet of Nachshon, the Shevet of Yehuda, merited to have malchut, to have kingship come from it. So I want to put that to the side, what his reward was. But for right now, we're going to focus on what was this midah of Nachshon. The midah of Nachshon was that he took action, that everybody was standing around discussing in a very Jewish manner. What should we do now? I don't know. Should I go first? Should you go first? Nobody wanted to be the one to go first. And finally, Nachshon just got up, stopped all the talking, and just jumped into the Yam Suf. And he said, we're going. And in his chut, the Yam Suf split. And what I want to suggest is that Rashi tells us about this connection between Boaz and Nachshon, his grandfather, in order to point out to us that this was not just a blood relation. Rather, there were inherited traits from Nachshon down to his grandson. And that was the midah of being a doer, being someone who's a go-getter, who takes action when no one else is able to. Where do we see this from Boaz in the Megillah? So if we look first in Rut Perek Bet, where we first meet Boaz, it says, V'hinei Boaz ba mi beit lechem v'yomer l'kutzrim Hashem imachem v'yomer lo yivarechecha Hashem. So we first meet Boaz, this strong Gibor Chayil. He is a very wealthy man. He is the owner of all these fields. And the first thing we see about him is that he comes to the field in the middle of the harvest. Why is that? Only a boss who's truly invested in the product he's putting out comes and does the dirty work. It says that he comes down during the harvest. He speaks to the workers. He's really down in the dirt with them. We see later on that he himself is on the threshing floor. He is winnowing his own wheat. And we see he even sleeps in the field to protect his crops. This is someone who's truly invested, who's really a doer, who's not happy to sit on the sidelines. So Boaz comes and he interacts with his workers. And he right away, as the observant person that he is, notices a woman in the field. And he says, Vayomer Boaz lenaro hanitzava lakutzrim lemi hanara hazo. Who is this woman? Vayan Hanara Nitaval Kutrim Vayomer Naaramo Aviahi Hashavaim Naami Miste Moab. And he says to Boaz, he says, this is the woman who returned with Naami. Vatomer Al Kitana Vesafta Baamarim Achareha Kutrim Vatavo Vatamod Meaz Haboker Viarata Vial Shifta Habayat Mea. And Boaz again right away takes action. He approaches Rut and he says, you will only collect here. You will come to this field, you will follow after my workers, and you will gather what you need to bring home. Vayomer Boaz al Rut, halo shamata biti, al tichli lilkot b'steyachar, v'gam lo tavru mizeh, v'cho tidabginim na'arotai. Inayach b'sadeh asher yikterun, v'halachta acharehan, halo tziviti et na'arim, levilti nig'acha, v'tzamta v'halachta al hakilim, v'shatita kasher yisavun hanarim. So he says, not only should you feel comfortable collecting in my field, don't worry, I have already told my workers they shouldn't touch you, you will be taken care of, you will be able to stay here, and you will be safe. So we see so many positive attributes of Boaz, that he interacts with his workers, he cares about them, he cares about the product he's putting out, he's not above anything. In addition, he notices what's going on in his field, he picks out a woman that he thinks could use his help, he automatically approaches her, and not only says to her, you're welcome here, makes her feel comfortable, but we see he's already done the background work. He's already spoken to his workers, told them not to touch her. He knew what he had to do to make Rut feel comfortable in his field. So we see right away when we meet him that he's a man of action. Then again, in Perek Gimel, when Naomi has this idea, she says, perfect, Rut, Boaz has noticed you. What I want you to do is we need to find a way for you to continue our family. You are going to go down to Boaz tonight in the threshing field, on the threshing floor. You are going to uncover his feet and ask him to take care of you. So we see in Perek Gimel, Vayomer, Brucha ta la Hashem biti, Heitavtach hastacha ha'acharon min harishon, Levilti lalachar acharei habachurim, Imdal v'imashir. So Boaz has a strange experience. He wakes up and this woman who he's been so nice to is now sleeping on his feet. I would say that's slightly disconcerting. But instead of being alarmed, Boaz right away welcomes her. And he says, wow, thank you for coming here tonight. He says, thank you for not pursuing a younger man, for coming here. You knew what was the proper way to take care of this matter. What is going on here, just as a background? The Torah brings down the halachot of Yibam, that if a man passes away without having any offspring, his wife has an obligation to marry the closest relative, which is usually a brother, but as plays out in Megillat Rut, it sometimes falls on another close relative. So Boaz was saying, you knew Rut what had to be taken care of, so you came here tonight. Thank you for doing that. So he says, Va'atabiti al tiri kol asher tomri e'aselecha ki yodea kol sar imi ki ishet chayelat. And Boaz says to her, now, Biti, my daughter, have no fear. Whatever you need done for you, I will take care of. He right away says he's a man of action. Whatever has to be done in this case, he will take care of. And again, he reassures everyone he comes into contact with that he will take care of them. And he says to Rus, there happens to be someone who is closer in order to marry you, but if they're not able to do it, don't worry about it. I'm there for you. I will take care of you. I'm ready to do whatever I have to. And this message really does come across because we see later on in Perek Gimel when Rut comes back to Naomi, Naomi says to her, "Shifti biti asher ad asher tadin, ich yupol davar ki lo yishkot ha'ish ki im lo kala ha'davar hayom." Naomi says, "Rest assured, Rut, you have nothing more to worry about because I know that this man will not rest. It says lo yishkot; he will not be silent until this matter is taken care of." That he has a reputation that precedes him. People know that whatever Boaz sets his mind to, he takes care of. So one might ask the question that you might think I'm avoiding. It seems like Boaz is not necessarily a man of action. It seems like he's waiting around for everyone to come to him. So one could say that he acted when the opportunity arose. But Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of Lecha Dodi, he has a very interesting piece, which is not the focus of the shir, but just to note, if one is thinking that he didn't really act, he just waited for the opportunity. Boaz right away knew who Rut was when he saw her in the field. He knew that Naomi was his cousin. He knew that there was this woman. He had come back. Everyone knew about Naomi. She was this important woman who returned poor and destitute to Eretz Yisrael. This wasn't a hidden matter. But rather, Boaz realized what he was going to have to do. He knew his role, but he also knew that him being an older man, it may have seemed strange. It may have been uncomfortable to Rut if he made advances at her. That had he approached her and said, you know, there's the rules of Yibam, and this is what has to happen, it may have made her uncomfortable. So rather than overtly coming to Rut, he set up the situation so that the plan would play out this way without making anyone uncomfortable. So Rav Shlomo Alkabetz says it's not that he sat back and waited for the opportunity to arise. Rather, he wanted the opportunity to come about in the best possible way with everyone being comfortable in the situation. So I want to go back, okay, we've established that Boaz is a man of action. But what lesson can we learn from this? And for this, I want to look back at Nachshon for a minute. That was it just that everyone was standing on the Yamsuf hesitating and Nachshon was just the one that was okay to go? That he took action, but what's deeper? What's the deeper message in what Nachshon did? What made Nachshon such a unique character? So the story of Nachshon is actually brought down in many places. And the next place that we see it is in the Gemara in Sota. And there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Hayar Rabbi Meir Omer, Kesha'am Du Yisrael Al Hayam. When Bnei Yisrael were standing at the on the banks of the Yam Suf, Hayushvatim Minatzchim Zeim Zeh, Zeim Zeh, Omer Ani Yorei Tchila Layam, Vizeh Omer Eini Yorei Tchila Layam. So they were going back and forth. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, that they were standing on the Yam Suf, going back and forth, saying, I'm not going in first, and I'm not going in first. Kafat shivto shel Binyamin ve'yarad liyam tchila she'ne'emar shim Binyamin tse'ir rodim al tikri rodim ela radim rad yam ve'hayu sarei Yehuda rogmim oto she'ne'emar sarei Yehuda rigamtam lefichach zacha Binyamin hatzadik v'naseh ushbichan legvuros. So Rabbi Meir says it was the shevet of Binyamin that went in first. Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no, this is not what happened. Lo kachaya maaseh. Ella Omer, in ani yorei tchila layam, v'zeh Omer in ani yorei tchila layam, kafat nachshon ben aminadav, v'yarad layam tchila she'ne'emar, sebabuni kachash Ephraim, ubimar merma beit Yisrael v'yehuda od ram amel. So it's saying, Rabbi Meir says that Shevet Binyamin went down first. But then came about the opinion that we read about before, which is that of Rabbi Yehuda, that nachshon ben aminadav went in first. But what's interesting to pay attention to is that it doesn't say one was willing to go into the Yam and the other was willing to go into the Yam. What they were fighting about, everyone knew that someone had to take the first step. But it says, "Eini rotza laredet tchila," I don't want to go down first. And the other was saying, I do not want to go down first. And among all of this, Nachshon jumped in. It wasn't that everyone else thought that, okay, now they're moving to the banks of the Yam Suf. This is the new camp of Bnei Yisrael permanently. Everyone knew that someone had to take action, but nobody wanted to be in it alone. What if this wasn't what they were meant to do? What if they were ridiculed? What if they jumped in and just ended up treading water? Nachshon didn't know that the sea would split. He didn't know what would happen. There had to be someone who was willing to take the risk, even if it might make them an outsider, it might have them be ridiculed by their neighbors, it might not work. But someone had to do what they thought was right, and no one else was willing to do that until Nachshon jumped in. He didn't do what no one else was willing to do. He did what no one else was willing to do first. He was willing to be different. He was willing to take action, but also in a way that only aligned with what he knew was right, not with what he necessarily knew would be successful. So what I want to make the point from this is that what Boaz took from Nachshon was not only the ability to be a doer, not only the ability to get things done, but the ability to be different from others, to do what he knew what was right, to do what he knew was right without necessarily knowing that everyone else would approve of what he was doing, that it wouldn't be the cool or popular thing to do, but it would be what was correct for the situation. We can see this because think about the situation that Boaz was in. He had this cousin, and this cousin up and abandoned the Jewish people. At their time of greatest need, Elimelech's family left Eretz Yisrael and left them to struggle on their own. And then his wife returns without anything, and she comes back, and now she has the audacity to send this strange woman out into the fields to collect and take the resources that may have rightfully belonged to other people. And the people around Boaz might have been saying, you know what, let them suffer. Why should we be giving to them? They abandoned us. Why do we need to help them? But Boaz stands up in this situation and he says, it might not be popular right now, but I know what is right. I know that I need to be the one because I am the only one who is in the position to help. I need to help Rut and Naomi, because this is my responsibility and I have to live up to that. I have to take the initiative no matter what others around me may think. And that's why Boaz says to his Na'arim, he says to his workers, do not touch Rut. Nobody else is allowed to come in on this situation. I am taking care of her. I am doing what's right. And we see that this is a midah that is praised throughout Jewish literature. There are numerous places that talk about taking action, the importance of taking action, about not being a talker, but being a doer. Specifically, I chose a piece from Mesilas Yesharim that says, She'im hu miniach atmo biyad kvidato vadai hu shelo yatzliach. It is in the parak that is talking about zrizas, zeal. And it says that if one gives in to their laziness, of course they will not succeed. V'hu ma she'amar hatana, have az kanemer v'kal kanesher v'ratz katzvi v'gibor kari latzot ratzon avicha she'bashamayim. It quotes the Mishnah that says you have to be ratz katzvi, gibor kari. You have to be active. You have to get up and go out and do the will of Hashem. You can't sit back and relax. You have to be active in your avodas Hashem. V'kein manu chachamim b'divarim hatzrichim chizak Torah u'masim tovim. The things that need strength are Torah and masim tovim. It takes strength. It takes fortitude to do the right thing. Umikrei malehu chazak v'yamatz me'ud l'shmur la'asot kechol ha'torah sher tzivicha Moshe avdi. It says in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, the speech that Yehoshua gets repeatedly is chazak v'yamatz. You have to strengthen yourself. You have to make yourself strong in order to be able to do what Hashem wants you to do. Ki chizuk gadol tzarich l'mi sherotel chavot hateva al kapo. That someone who wants to do the right thing needs a lot of strength and not a lot of fortitude and a lot of zeal. V'hine shlomo shana me'od bazharato al zeb b'ruto et roa ha'atzala v'ha'hafsid gadol hanimshach mimena v'amar me'ad shanot me'ad shnumo u'ma'at chibik yadayim lishkav. It says in Mishlei that it says Shlomo HaMelech teaches us this lesson as well. That one who is lazy will not succeed. That one needs to overcome his laziness. It says, one who allows himself to settle into laziness, who doesn't take action, may not be purposely doing something wrong, but by sitting back and relaxing is allowing negative things to happen, is allowing sin to happen. That this is one of the methods of the Yetzer Hara, is to tell us that we don't really need to do anything. We can let someone else do it. We can let it happen by nature. And what we learn, what the Mesilas Yesharim is telling us, the Ramchal is stating here, is that you have to fight off this laziness and you have to take action. And this is the Midah of Boaz. So to conclude, how do we know that this is a positive trait of Boaz? First of all, we see that Boaz is able to take action. He, in the end of the Megillah, we see that he is able to be the Goel. He is able to live up to what he wants to accomplish. And we see that the reward from this union between him and Rut is the birth of, eventually, the birth of Mashiach. That it says, sorry, I lost my pasuk here somewhere. In the end of the Megillah, it gives us the entire family tree. Oh, sorry, it's all the way back in the beginning. It was our second source, and it says, V'ela toldot parat holid et chetron, we went through this, v'chetron holid et ram, v'ram holid et aminadav, v'aminadav holid et nachshon, v'nachshon holid et shlomo. V'salmon holid et Boaz, v'Boaz holid et Ovid. Boaz gave birth to Ovid from this union with Rut. V'Ovid holid et Yishai, Ovid gave birth to Yishai, v'Yishai holid et David. And Yishai gave birth to David. That we see that out of this union between Boaz and Rut came eventually David HaMelech, and we know that coming from David HaMelech, Emer Tzashem v'mhira b'yaminu, will be Mashiach. So we see that because Boaz took action here, that he didn't sit back and relax, we see that eventually we bring to Mashiach. And if anyone caught a little bit further back in the family tree was Peretz. Peretz, if that rings a bell, Peretz came from the union between Tamar and Yehuda. Another situation where Tamar stood up, she knew what she had to do, and she took action. And another one that's a little bit stickier of a situation is Rut. So we see that on Boaz's side, already there's this lineage of taking action, of stepping up to the plate, a lineage of go-getters. But also on Rut's side, Rut is a Moaviah. She comes from the nation of Moav, which is from the union between the daughter of Lot and Lot. When the daughters of Lot thought that the world was over, they took the very unpopular action of being with their father in order to continue the world. They thought the world was over and it was on their shoulders to continue it. So we see that all throughout this history, there are people that stood up and took action, whether it was the daughters of Lot, whether it was Tamar and Yehuda, whether it was Boaz and Ruth. They knew they had to take action in a situation where it may not have been popular. They had to be the Nachshons. They had to jump into sometimes uncharted waters and do what they knew what was right. And this teaches us that in order to eventually bring Mashiach, that we see so far until this point to bring us closer to Mashiach have been people who have taken action, we as well need to take this message to heart. This message of Boaz, this message of Ruth, and all of the people before them, and we must take action. We must think, what is the correct thing to do in this situation, even if it may not be the most popular? So may we take this message of Boaz, truly take action, and Emir Tashem bring Mashiach very soon. I'll see you next week for our last year that finally focuses on our main character, Ruth. I'm so excited to learn again with you. Thank you again for excusing the disturbances in the beginning of this year. Have a great week.